So as part of reflection, which for a long time we have not been doing, one of the questions which triggered this reflection is what's happening to the world in conflict. Actually, this is not really the time to speak about it, because when you're, the whole boat is rocking, then the only thing you should be concentrated upon is what to do, rather than try to get oriented, because... But one thing one can see very clearly, very, very clearly, that is the hand of the divine grace in all this. Actually, there are two ways of looking at life, at world situation, at our own life, individually, collectively, national life. One is to see it from outside within. So we see outside and we react. Oh, look at this person. Oh, look at that person. Oh, he's so egoistic. All these personal biases. To really go deep, one has to be very, very impersonal. Very, very impersonal. Not bring in the biases of one's own ideas, attachment to viewpoints, opinions, likes, dislikes, none of them. And one of the classic examples which I often, you know, love to remember is, like people are saying now about the American president. But look at Winston Churchill. I am not by any means comparing him to him. But here was a man who was full of defects. But how he was used by the divine as an instrument. So was it true of Napoleon. So all that we can say for now is that we can see certain tendencies. And that's very fascinating when we look at the tendencies. We should not look at personalities. Personalities will immediately bias us. We should not look at it with the lens of our own interest. That will also bias us. So, for example, recently there has been talk about, you know, taking over Greenland and, you know, taking over Venezuela, and an idealistic part will say, oh, how can you do that? But this is what has been happening in the world since, God knows, time immemorial. This is not something new. Why we are reacting is because we expect being with a certain kind of idealism that, you know, it shouldn't happen. But if you really look at Greenland itself, whose country is it originally? I mean, if you really go into it. So, things are in flux. There is no doubt about it. Nothing is settled as that this is my place or your place. Whether one should take it or not is a different issue altogether. But one has to understand that at this point of time, the whole world is in flux and everything is shifting. And in those processes, certain old tendencies are bound to come. And that tendency is building of empires, imperialism. America, in a way, has never really tasted imperialism in the real sense of the word. They've gone, then come back. I mean, they have bases everywhere, that's different. But these tendencies are there as part of the world consciousness, and whenever there is a nation head which is powerful enough, they will try to assert themselves. But what is more interesting is, it's not about... it's good or bad. If you want to understand nature and divine, if you use these words, which are words of human dualistic way of looking at things, you know, drawing a line, one can never understand. One will not understand nature. One will not understand the divine working if we put things in a bracket of good and bad. It's okay for our individual navigational purposes, but that's not how the world forces operate. So what is nature trying to do? Nature is trying to conduct an experiment in human unity. If you really look at it, it's like that. All empire making was its first attempt for human unity. Its attempt towards imperialism was first attempt to create human unity, wherein people from different places came together, they mixed, and it created something new. It helped both in the long run. So nature doesn't look at it immediate pain. So just to give in context that at in one of the conversations, I think it is 71, the Bangladesh war has not yet taken place, but things are moving in the air. And mother discusses about a possible American invasion of India. Why does she speak of that? She says they may have to come to save us from the Chinese. She saw a Chinese invasion right down to the south. See, we don't realize the power of the communist bloc still. And she could see through it. This was not just because of 62, but she's talking about it in 71. And she says it's a real threat, because if Chinese occupy, then things are gone. I mean, you have to go back who knows how many millenniums. And then she contemplates, she says, the Americans may come to save, or maybe Russians, but she says out of the two, American occupation is better. And the reason she says is that if Russians come, then neither will gain anything, because Russians have mystic tendencies and so have Indians. But if Americans come, there is a big likelihood that they may get spiritualized, because it's a very young young nation. I mean, it's a nation which has just come up just like that. Wanderers, nomadic people with their own, I mean, their own ideas. So if they come, she even says it'll be good for the world, because they will get spiritualized by the time they go. They are likely to pick up all the spiritual ideas of India fastest, which we know that if you look at what Swami Vivekananda did and many gurus in the West, because it's a very young sort of nation, it doesn't have really a background of culture or civilization, and therefore they are open to things. But then she sees, no, I don't want it, because there will be a lot of humiliation and suffering and pain. So she doesn't want it. But at the same time, she said, and India will grow in terms of material, what India needs right now. And if you really look at it, whether whatever be the present tendencies, whatever be the egoistic reactions, likes and dislikes, one thing is very, very clear, that India and America must come together. It's needed for the good of the world, whether you like it or not. You know, we get sentimentally attached to things in the past. But I'll give you some examples from the Mahabharata war. Shri Krishna goes and asks Karna, why don't you join? And if you see, the alliances change during the Mahabharata war. Shishupal, whom Shri Krishna has actually beheaded, the Chedi Desh, they join the Pandavas. And the Vanshaj of Rama, Brihadbal, one of the kings, he is on the side of the Kauravas, because he is idealistic. He says, how can it be? No, he deserves, because Dhritarashtra, they are going into that logic, that Dhritarashtra was the elder, it was wrong that, you know, well, because he is blind, he didn't get the throne. So all these debates were going on at that point of time. So if you look at it this way, we cannot deny a few facts. We have to close our eyes to deny it. That for good or worse, by hook or by crook, America is our most powerful country. This is something you have to reckon with. Economically, it has used certain means. Yes, again, whatever. But it is a military power, and one cannot deny it. And given that fact, it is needed to be won over for the good of the world. And the mother foresaw that conversion of America is one of the things in the offing. And she also saw India as a bridge between Russia and America. That means that whatever we are seeing today is only an appearance. Earlier also I said the same thing. Don't go by one elected president. We should be very careful that there are no permanent boundaries created. Because, you know, sometimes a person may be difficult. So what do? You say, wait, let it pass. So we must understand the difference between a people of a nation, its destiny, the nation's soul, and our president, whom you don't like because of his crazy ways. That's one part. But that should not lead to a kind of schism and a division between India as a nation and America as a nation. Both are great nations. Both have a great destiny, and they are needed to come together, because spiritual and material, if you look at it. So one should just allow this phase to pass away. Not get into an egoistic battle, which is where I feel little concerned, because a lot of egoistic reactions, they help nobody. Eventually, you know, he will give 4 abuses, you give 4 abuses, that's not going to help. One has to see what is good for the world and what is good for the new creation. At this point of time, this coming together is needed to believe that you can make a friendship with China and counteract America is fatal. This is a bloc already forming. There is North Korea aligning with now Russia, whether you like it or not, and with China. To fall into this bloc is dangerous, really dangerous. So this is how I see the tendency towards creating unity. And then Sri Aurobindo says that it's all there in the human cycle. You have to just read between the lines. He speaks about the possibility of a world state, which in a way started. United Nations, five nations having a veto is a kind of world state, if you look at it. And he says world state has its own pluses and there are perils. But before the perils, he gives us an account of what a world state would mean. So world state would mean that basically now there is a kind of governance all over, a rational democratic idea that, well, because there are people who are controlling now the world, world politics and all that. So we may look at it as evil or bad, but look at how nature is working. That, you know, there are few powerful countries which are controlling the world. It's not good because in a way nobody likes to be controlled. But if you look at from nature's point of view, it wants to bring the world together. It's trying all means. But obviously, in fact, he goes on to say it is possible that if the world state really succeeds in the best conditions, you may have hundreds of years, centuries of very peaceful and prosperous times. Sri Aurobindo has foreseen it. Because then after a while, one of the things is there would be no more war because there is world government. You're not fighting anymore that way. And whenever the wars come down, there will be prosperity, there will be peace. After some time, people reconcile, provided the world state does not impose its culture and all those things on others. This is the great peril. So that's why the communist bloc making a world state is disastrous. Just like the Islamic bloc tried to create a kind of world state, it's disastrous. But a rational democratic way of life creating a world state is not so disastrous as we imagine it to be. So this is one part of the tendency. But he says, but this is not the answer. After some time, there will be inertia will set in. Exactly what we see in today's America. There is a time when there is a great hip-hop hype. And then there is an inertia which sets in. Then there is a revolt because human nature will not stay in that stagnant state. When there are no wars, you're just earning money, then there'll be a stagnation. And when there is a stagnation, there will be a revolt. So it will open the door to anarchy. Now, anarchy has just, you can see these tendencies towards anarchy. Is it good or bad? Well, prematurely it is dangerous, disastrous. But if you look at from the far-reaching side, hundreds of years down the line, anarchy will be there. If you look at what does Swami Vivekananda, instead of anybody controlling you, you have to awaken to your own inner truth and be guided by that. That is the ideal anarchic world, Vedantic anarchism. Sri Aurobindo uses the word that in between it is perilous. In the beginning, it starts with anarchy. It ends with a divine anarchy where each one discovers the law within himself. But in between, if we enter into it, it is like going to the devil. That's how he has put it. So one can see the anarchic tendencies all over the world. A second tendency which is very interesting is a transnational grouping, free grouping of mankind, which is very good actually in a way, where people are coming together based on certain ideas and ideals. They are cutting across national boundaries. So there are the national groupings. But there is also a different tendency which is showing up nowadays in the last at least 20 years, one can see, where people are cutting across national boundaries and coming together for a greater cause. And it's something very beautiful. For example, what's happening in Iran today. So you see people are in sympathy and, you know, why should all the much worse has happened. Same Persian Empire, we're talking about Somnath. If you look at it, it was Turkish, Afghan and Persian. Who was this fellow? Ghazni. So, who cried? Nothing. People didn't even know what he has done. But we'll come to that later. But now people's hearts are reaching out in sympathy. People are trying to discover their roots. Iranians, for example, are trying to discover who they are and what they are. And do they really belong? They actually never belonged. If you look at their life, They are going back to the root. So there is a simultaneous tendency of nations to and units of mankind, groups of mankind, to go back to their roots and discover new alliances. That is exactly what is happening in Balochistan. You want to discover your own roots, and then you discover that we are, I mean, one of the Baloch leaders on television said something very interesting. He said, "Are you a Pakistani?" He said, "No." He said, "Can you say that you are a Hindustani?" He said, "We are children of Hinglaj Mata." Hinglaj Mata, who is one of the Shakti Peeth in Balochistan. So the Pakistani fellow was also there. He got very annoyed and angry. He said, "We are children of Hinglaj Mata, Bharat Mata ki jai." He said, "We have no issue about it because we don't belong." So you see, now humanity is going back to its root. This process will happen. Because when Mother was asked, how can humanity become one? She said, humanity can become one by going back to its origins. Now, how will nature do it? So Shobindu said there are two ways. One is an inner awakening. That will be wonderful. A federated unity. Every human being rises up. Understand that, well, you are here to create unity and all this. But chances of that are very unlikely. So he says, power of crashing circumstances. So in the current scenario, people are beginning to, look inside everywhere, all over the world. It's happening in America. Because you don't know whether you want to stand by your country, you want to stand by a larger ideal, you don't know what is really true. All this is happening. Very interesting. Even France, the way it has approached something very beautiful in all this conflict, coming out as, you know, one of those who can be, who's coming together with India would be so good for the world. So we can see that this is a churning going on. Nothing is final. And this, I can say, is an absolutely clear prediction. India and America will come together. What will be the means, we don't know. We should not go by, you know, that he is looking for rare earth everywhere. That's okay. Digging the bubbles in Greenland, I'll find rare earth. In Balochistan, all this is okay. This should not be taken too seriously. And wanting to build a kind of imperialistic tendency. Nature will use these things for bringing together, sections of humanity. So this is how I look at it. I don't see things are as bad as they are being told in the Iranian war. Now you see what has happened. If you look at, actually go back historically. So as I was saying, just as when Sri Krishna left the world, Kali entered, and there were issues almost couple of hundred years, then a new balance came. If you look at one of the things that happened after the mother's physical withdrawal, is the Iranian so-called revolution, when the Shah is overthrown and a very hardcore element comes in. And that's where, if you look at it, at one point became the guardians, Iran, Turkey, they are very dangerous places. And there are people whom the divine has given the charge even of destroying. We have to understand this is the part of the process. So what's happening in Gaza, what's happening in Iran, and this is a great pain, a lot of suffering, sacrifice. But then people say, but they are suffering so much they have to go through. Yes, but if you look at it, that just about 30-40 years back, which side of the history was the present Iran population standing? Look back what happened in the 80s. So you have to go through that pain and suffering. It's a part of the process. But eventually, this is a purifying suffering. If they can stand by it, yes. And I feel nature is inspiring them, giving them the courage to stand by it. And mechanisms will be created. See what happened to a man like Hitler, how the divine turned his mind away towards Russia. And the two fought with each other, and what was the result? Now you see what has happened. The whole attention is turned towards Iran. And there is likelihood of a war. People are worried about Third World War. All these are all meaningless. A Third World War of the magnitude is not only least likely, I can almost, it's ruled out, given the way countries are now knit together, both technologically, economically. There is something very interesting that Sri Aurobindo has foreseen. The tariff war. And he had a term to it. And the term is economic barbarism. And why does he use the term? If you look at how does it start? It starts from science being at the service of human comfort. So he says, what is barbarism? Barbarism is Deha Atma Bodh. When you think the body and the vital is all. So when a civilization begins to live only for physical and vital comforts, material comforts, and forgets the higher intellectual and the deeper emotional and spiritual side, then it is a barbaric civilization. And what will come is now an economic barbarism where every nation will try to, you know, grab money from another nation. So that's what even America is engaging in. China has been engaging in this for long. So people often appreciate, look at China, these trains, all this. Forget about the AI-generated propaganda, which people are not able to see, all those roads cut through mountains. Point is, it's not the way of life. If that's what earthly life has to end, then it might as well end. Because there is no meaning in all that. So there is what we see in all this tariff war is no doubt economic barbarism going to a peak. But like all things, this is not going to sustain itself. That's also Sri Aurobindo said. He said in the modern conditions of the world, this is impossible to sustain. Which people are realizing. Because you are so badly interconnected, interlinked. That given modern trade, you can't sustain this kind of war for long. You have to just wait, hold on, diversify, which is also good in a way. And you'll see this will subside. These are little, those sparks which have come up. And one should not be much worried about. So what one should be worried about? Everything this is happening, it seems the divine will, nature is pushing towards unity. Also diversity. Ultimately, unity in diversity is the plan. So what should be worried about? Now that's where our role comes in. Instead of being worried about all this, because nature and the divine will ensure the supramental consciousness, and at least personally to me, I can see that things are happening according to a kind of deeper plan. But what's important is, so Sri Aurobindo says that the way you can create the future, because all this is okay. Tomorrow he says, okay, tariffs are 10%. So we all will say, wonderful, very nice, you are a good guy. That's not the solution. Tomorrow if suddenly America says, I am going to have an arms dealing with you, I have decoupled Pakistan, that's not a solution. So he says the solution is one is internationalism, which of course won't take roots unless there is a religion, spiritual religion of humanity. This is the solution that Sri Aurobindo gives. Long back, Swami Vivekananda speaks of it. And people took it very lightly because he says what message he got from his guru. So he gave him this message, and Swami Vivekananda writes in one of his very powerful talks or letters. He says, abandon all other gods. If you read it, looks like here is another iconoclast. He was an iconoclast. He says, break all other idols. These are his words. Worship this alone, this living idol. Nar in whom Narayana dwells. Man. So you see, he laid the foundation of a kind of religion of humanity. Sri Aurobindo has added to it the spiritual religion of humanity, wherein you discovered spiritually the bond of oneness, which should take hold of the human race. And all of us have a sacred duty to live in that, which means every devotee of Sri Aurobindo and the mother, or any spiritual path for that matter, who is adding to the division, is not helping. Nature strangely arrives at unity through division. So nature has her ways. She is far too intelligent and vast. We are worried about our lifetime for nature, 100 years or nothing. But what we need to do is to create more and more a growing nucleus of spiritual humanism. Humanism is not a word Sri Aurobindo has used, or the spiritual religion of humanity. Transformation is something else. It's still greater. That's for a chosen few. There are people who will reach there. But at least the international religion of humanity, the spiritual religion of humanity, meaning thereby to recognize that the same oneself dwells in all. When mother is asked in 1912, what is the most useful idea to spread? And she says this, that the self of the individual and the self in others is the same. Uses this as the most useful idea to spread. And humanity is going toward that also. This tendency is there, which is coming up. On one side you have racism, on the other side anti-racist sentiment. On the other side, the need to understand that there is something deeper bond which connects us through common issues, common problems. All these tendencies are taking place. They are not very prominent, or even if they are prominent enough, they are not allowed the full play, but they are there, which is a very good sign. So for us, this is the path, and that's where I feel the role of Auroville, which I'm not too sure how much it is able to play right now, because Auroville is going through conflict, and my own feeling is that conflict is getting reflected in the world. It is important to create unity, not by any external forceful means. That's not unity. That kind of unity has been tried. It has failed. It won't succeed in modern conditions, because human beings have grown, evolved past that stage. So one has to discover the means of unity while allowing full freedom. It is a challenge. And if we cannot do it, then I don't know who will do it. You have to allow. And it's possible. There are many hints in Indian thought itself. For example, right now there is a tendency, this fellow is bad, he is not good, throw him out, or this thing. What did Valmiki do? What did, some would say Sanat Kumar, some would say Narad, or some would say Angiras Rishi, that's not important. Do to Ratnakar, Valmiki. So if you begin to see that there is a divine, but we have to deal with that, we have to go past that barrier. The barrier of the ego, of, divided opinions, viewpoints, the heart has to open in a deeper sympathy. Even in Shobindu's poem it is written, a heart made one in sympathy with all. How will ascending nature find her goal? And so he discusses in that poem, three stanzas of different ways, science and other philosophy. And then he says, a heart grown one in sympathy with all. So that is the role that all of us has to play. Very challenging, because the challenge will come from within us. The first tendency will be to react and react with the ego. Oh, he's like that. We'll show him. Then we have lost the battle. At least one soldier lost. The so-called lords of falsehood smile. Dekha, pakad liya. So one has to be so careful in times like this. This power of living inside and living from within outwards, we don't understand. When someone had asked Swami Vivekananda, you see it's so close on his Jayanti, so all this is coming up also. So when someone asked him, when you said those words, brothers and sisters of America, five words, what made people go crazy for 2.5 minutes applauding, crying? What made it possible? What was the magic? What was the realization? What was the spiritual path? You know what did he say? He said, no, none of these things. So what was the magic? He said, for 10 to 12 years, I have strictly practiced not to allow a single bad thought to enter my head. So when he says, brothers and sisters of America, it was not just a phrase, a cliche. It was the power of that consciousness. And I think that's where we should... it's also based on something which I had seen very clearly about the old world getting destroyed and the new world coming up. That each one of us is truly, in this sense, a spiritual samurai. Not to allow anything which is divisive. To always nurture thoughts of unity, harmony, beauty, even against what seems to us as the worst. It's a very, very challenging task. But I believe that each one who can do it will cascade and bring 100 others into the fold. And once again, to close, I feel it's important to understand the need for America, India, and Russia, of course, to come together if you really want a new world order. Otherwise, you are putting everything in the plate of China, which is dangerous. These are the thoughts. As I said, no further predictions, because the world is in turmoil and we should not rush and judge, and based on astrology and this and that, we are not able to see it. Just let the storm clear. All this will settle down. They will be compelled to come together. It's needed for the new world order. One last thing. You see, you read what message. Has Sri Aurobindo given message to any other country apart from India? To America. And the mother also gave a message to America and also to France. No other country. They asked for it. There has to be a reason. Sri Aurobindo could have said no. He could have said, no, I have nothing to do with that. 1949. What does he say there? If you read that message, he says, and mother says same thing, but in a different, stop thinking you are from the East and they are from the West. Stop thinking. All humanity is one with common problems, common issues. They have to come together and they have to find, each has to come and show, find a solution. And this he says that, well, America has its own mystic tendencies all over the world, but at the same time they are materially samradh. That's what they can give. Swami Vivekananda said the same thing. Don't give us jnana, don't send clergies to us, give us money, we need money. And India has to give the spiritual tendencies to the world, and so the base has to be the Eastern gospel of spirit. But it has to take into itself a spiritualization of material life, which is something which the conversion of America is important for that. And let's hope and pray. I am very, very hopeful. Not even once this doubt comes. Somehow, whenever I look inside, I feel it will all happen. How long, I don't know. But it's something which is bound to happen. All this is an artificial wall. It's like an illusion which will just break open, and they will be coming together again, and not too far, not like 100 years of occupation. Jai Maa.